Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 198 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild and wild adjacent formats of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Electric Sheep City. It's great to be back this beautiful Friday evening here in cool Colorado. Unfortunately, Hydralisk has abandoned us this week, but I am joined by the one, the only, Shmoopy Daddy!
Great to be back. Once again, contributing to the show this week. Yeah, it's like rainy and dark, and I'm the only parent in the house because Shmoopy Mommy's on a band trip. But I'm very excited for tonight because we have got a special guest in the house. We are interviewing former rank one legend player, five-time rank one wild legend finisher, distinguished evening wild Hearthstone streamer, Tempo Storm expert for both Paladin and Mage, and last but not least, Lethal Company expert beekeeper, OTZ. OTZ, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, chat. That's me.
OTZ, this is I'm happy we get to do this tonight because your name was on a short list of people I mentioned when I was formally brought on the show as like, hey, this is, you know, we haven't interviewed these guys yet. You're an important part of the wild community, especially the streaming community, with some people sort of taking a step back, like Get Meowth and Corbett. So with those of us who are not as familiar with you, we would like for you to start by sharing as much or as little about yourself as you'd like.
Hi, I'm a wild player, and so a long time ago when I was in middle school, a friend told me to download this funny digital card game called Hearthstone, and then I was like, oh, that was kind of, it seems kind of fun, and then I downloaded the game, and then that guy quit like 5 years ago, and then I'm still playing, and then here we are today.
So, do you mind telling us how you got your username?
What would you like to know? It's kind of a way to, in Chinese, to refer to yourself humbly, and then it was because When I came up with this username, I was in middle school, and then I was playing this other game, and then when it's called Arena of Valor, probably haven't heard of it. But the thing is, whenever a game was finished, there was the MVP of the game will show up on screen, and then if it was me, it would be just like show up as. This humble person who named themselves as they are very confident to be the MVP all the time. So it's kind of satirical. And then I kind of didn't put through the effort to come up with a different username. So here we are.
So it stuck. Okay. We've never seen your face before on Twitch. Are you a human or an AI language model?
Oh, well, I definitely have flesh attached to my skeletal system, and I do maintain metabolism, and I have a physical form, so yeah, I'm obvious, I'm human.
Okay, we'll let that slide for now. How do you pick the image for your live, honest reaction every stream? Because for those who have never been to an OTZ stream, he doesn't have a face cam. He doesn't operate with a face cam, but he does operate with some image that represents his live, honest reaction at that time. So how do you pick those?
Well, so the first time I started streaming, I was messing around with putting up images on the screen. So, and then I so happened to have a 3D Saul Goodman GIF saved on my computer. And then I put that up on the screen. And then I thought it was pretty funny if I just play that throughout my entire stream. And then there was this other Live Tucker reaction meme, so I edited that. That was Live OTV reaction. And then the second stream, I was like, oh, I should probably switch it up so it's not just 3D Saul Goodman for 3 hours again. So I decided to switch it up every stream. So it's just whatever meme I can find that isn't too distracting.
I haven't, this wasn't one of the formal questions on here. How long have you been streaming though?
Since like 2020 August 2022.
Oh, okay. That's longer than I thought. I mean, I became aware of your streams maybe 6 months to a year ago. When and like now you're probably you pull I know when you're live, you're pulling like 60, 70 people pretty easily, because again, like I'd say right now, you're probably the most active competitive wild streamer consistently. I'd say top 300, top 200 when you are streaming.
What?
So what is your favorite deck of all time and why?
Well, there are a few candidates, of course. The one I can think of off the top of my head is probably Cyclone Mage with six quest sticks and two mana sword.
Okay.
So that was a wild deck. That was a very iconic wild deck. So the thing is that when that deck was popular, I was playing Hearthstone on the subway every day, and then I play Cyclone Mage, and then I didn't know what I was doing. Which is, well, when you don't know what you're doing, it's the best part of playing a video game. So that's why it means so much to me, I guess.
Were you cruising through like dead zones and stuff? Were you like on the subway where you're like, oh man, I gotta finish this turn before this tunnel comes?
Oh, yeah, I lost a lot because of the internet.
Buddy Neon Heron still does that sometimes. You said that was he'll play and he'll just be like, I'm going under the Brooklyn the river, I'm not making it. You said that was one of the candidates. Did you have another one you wanted to mention?
Probably Dreadwalk Shaman, because I played a lot of that deck, and then it was probably the peak of my performance with that deck, I suppose.
Have you made your shutter block gold yet?
Yes, I regret it because it's very bad.
It's very dead. Oh no.
It's not very good.
Yeah, unlucky, unlucky. This is good because, like, you know, we've had some people sort of step down. I'd say in the last, what, 12, 18 months from Tempo Storm, some old faces just sort of moving on, and some new people being brought in. And you're one of those new people. What is it like, writing for Tempo Storm?
It's pretty chill, I guess. So we meet up once every 2 weeks, and then we make a tier list, and then we decide who does what write-up.
And there's like a voting system, I hear, right? Like, you know, what decks make it on, what decks don't.
Yeah, there's like a chart we fill out, and then we rate the decks on a score, kind of like that.
That's cool. 'Cause you know, like the Tempo Storm reports, you know, they come out and sometimes the community has like a big emotional or irrational reaction to the report. Is there something you would want to say to those individuals or share with them or respond to them now that you sort of get a little peek behind the curtain and you can kind of like, you know, you see what the process and what goes into the process, like anything you'd want to say, I don't know whether to address them or just
Well, so most of the people on the team are at the top of the ladder. So sometimes we don't know what's going on in like 9x till 10x MMR territory. And also we write the write-ups a few days before it actually gets released. So sometimes when the report comes out, something has changed in the meta and it wasn't mentioned in the report. So unlucky.
Like the surge in even paladin was like
Yep.
was too late for you, right? Like that was like,
Exactly.
wow, why is everybody playing this deck all of a sudden? And you're the paladin expert, so like you're left holding the bag there. But at the same time, but in fairness to you, I didn't see a single even paladin until the 31st of the month last month. And then and I from what I gather, the report was already written by then, so it's like, what are you gonna do? All right, along those lines, though, as the Tempo Storm Paladin expert, give us one tip to becoming a better Paladin player.
Well, I have about 360 astounding, an astounding number I know. It's 361 Paladin wins. So, what I learned in my long career of playing Paladin is that whatever Paladin you play, it always feels unplayable because you're playing a Paladin deck. So, don't play Paladin.
I thought you were going to say,
Yeah.
go
Oh,
first. Just go first.
awesome that.
Also,
That'll be pretty good.
wiser words have never been spoken, and you heard that on. Is there anything else that you want to say to the community before we do a little bit of housekeeping, my friend?
No, I'm good.
Hi, good.
Perfect.
I'm sheep.
Oh, got me there.
Got him. So, for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all the podcast apps. So, however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes, you.
Content plug. Shmoopy Daddy. Before we get to the main topic of the show tonight, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shakunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free just for following. Born to Be Wild merch. Image of my wife. Here's a link to a shop from the main website. No link for me to read. Finally, if you'd like to show support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. We have a few channels in the Discord that are unlocked by subscribing to the Patreon, where you can see the show coming together each week. Check it out. If you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free and amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all of this stuff and more can be found at our website, which is www.borntobewildhs.com. Sheep, how's your week?
It was a little intense. So I did end up hitting a legend in our format finally. I had a lot of fun playing me some aggro dragon. I was about to say shaman. That's not the right thing. Aggro dragon priest. The shadow variant. So that was a lot of fun. Been playing still a lot of standard. I think I'm just outside of top 1K again. I'll get back there. Won't be a big deal. But work and things around work have been a lot this week. So it's been A long week, but I mentioned, I think it was last week, maybe it was before, maybe it was just in your chat, Shmoopy Daddy, that I got Lateralis on vinyl the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And it was...
I was tilting hard, so I couldn't appreciate it.
The album, dude, it was completely... It's two different, you know, it's vinyl, so it's two different discs. One of the discs, not even there, just was missing. The other disc, completely scratched up. It was supposed to be new, and it was very much not. So I got it replaced, and now it sounds fantastic. So it's a lot better. I'm much more happy about that. This is a pretty big, like, vinyl month for me, so I've got, like, the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon 50th anniversary, like, pre-ordered, and then two of the Cyberpunk 2077 soundtracks on pre-order. So, like, when those come in, like...
I don't love that game.
Yeah. Oh, and the Taylor Swift new album, Shmoopy Daddy. I know you're a big fan.
I will be subjected to it. On
you will hear it.
Whether or not, I mean, like, I don't know if I'll get Stockholmed or not. We're going to have to find out. But.
That is pretty much what happened to me. And then, like, the most recent album was, like, straight up, like, good. Anyway. So that's been me. Been playing a lot of Standard in particular on the grind. Still been playing a decent amount of our format as well. Also played some Highlander Hunter. That was fun. Been just kind of hanging out outside of work stuff. How about you, Father?
This week has been weird because I came off of such a long vacation. So Shmoopy update, we had his, like, sort of annual review. It looks like the best place to put him next year for school is in public school, but in an inclusion setting, which we take those. It's nothing academically. It's when he gets deregulated, he becomes an ungovernable, you know, heathen. So it's all like they think that, like, putting him in an inclusion with 22 kids, it's just going to be too much. So limited setting, but they realize that he's very bright and that they're going to have to keep him busy or he will raise hell. And so, like, that's just going to have to be the way it goes. I mean, he was doing, like, he was done with his work, and so they were sending him, like, second grade math and, like, in like kindergarten. He was doing pretty good with it. So, you know, he's very bright. We just have to, like, you know, we have to housebreak him a little bit so that society's ready for him. But we were very happy about that outcome as far as just, like, cool. He's going to be going to public school. He's just excited to have girls back in his class. Like, he's just, it's a bunch of boys in his class right now. And, yeah, I think when there's a bunch of boys, he just starts wailing on them and they start wailing on him. Cause it's just like, well, it's time for boys to be boys. Let's Lord of the Flies this baby and see how this goes. So, we're excited to get him back in public school. Cause he's usually a lot quieter and gentler around female students. As far as Hearthstone goes, I hit Legend in Standard the 7th of the month, which I never do. I shouldn't say I never hit Legend in Standard, but that's the first time I think I've hit Standard Legend inside of the first week. If it's not the first time, it's the first time in a long time. I don't know if I got there with, like, you know, prayed a boat, dumbled like pirate warrior. Like, I don't know if I just, like, got bored and drooled my way there then. Playing the dumb DH deck, the Windows Shopper, but I played it with the Naga Shell, which was a lot of fun because I kind of felt like I was never quite making, like, the aggro boards that people described or that you prefer in the first couple turns. You know, if I was on the coin, I wanted to coin my mitt. So, like, I was always just hard mulliganing for the funny. Go get an instrument tech. Go get a glove. Once you have those, just figure it out from there. And so the Naga DH style of kind of like, okay, well, now I've got all this gas. Let's draw the rest of my deck and blow them up with a ton of reach. That was my thing. And so that was a lot of fun, actually. I enjoyed playing that and reaching legend at Dumpster MMR. I think I came in at like 3K or something like that. 3.5, 3.6K. Haven't touched standard since. Horrifying format. As far as Wild goes, still just sort of goofing around. The stream is, we're doing Survivor. And so, off meta decks, not found on the Temper Storm report, plus even Paladin aren't allowed. And I'm sort of playing decks and we're seeing what off meta decks are the king of it all. Right now, the only undefeated deck, maybe there's two, I have to double check. No, the only undefeated deck right now was submitted by Raxxius. And it's even Paladin, but she cut Gen and another card and added two Convictions and like Samuro. So like it's even Paladin, but it's not even.
Uh-huh.
And it's 5-0. And so like that's horrifying. I probably do better with it than like regular even Paladin, even though there's times where I'm looking down and I'm just like, this would be a great time to weave in a 1-1 right now. And I'm just going to float this one mana and move on. I am positive there are people that I've played against who have just been like, this idiot forgot Gen. And it hasn't lost yet. So I'm sure I've helped make the world a better place by having some people uninstall because they lost to Genless Even Paladin. OTZ, how has your week been? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been on my Minecraft phase, my two-week Minecraft phase of the year, so I've been playing a lot of Minecraft. And then there was this April Fool's update this year. It's pretty cool. There's like a whole dimension added just for this April Fool's update, and then they added like two things every major update. So that's
really cool. So it's like for however many years they've been doing the bit, like it keeps getting a little bit more complicated.
Well, sometimes it's really complicated. Sometimes they just don't do anything. It's kind of random, but this one I feel like is probably the largest run they've done.
You can share some details. We're nerds here, so like I'm sure our listeners would appreciate a little bit of Minecraft. That's fine.
Oh yeah,
the Minecraft war. They added poisonous potato dimension, and that's last time they added like the moon as a dimension on the April Fool's update.
What was their cheese?
Oh yeah, the entire moon is cheese.
Yes.
You can eat the moon floor.
Of course you do. And you do.
And then the cows on the moon walks backwards because it's moonwalking.
That makes me so happy.
So the community is kind of upset that they don't actually... Well, it doesn't look like the actual game is getting an update of this much effort.
Oh no. They're like, oh, you guys put in a bunch of effort with the April Fools and like not effort on the base game.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a mob boats and there are three pretty lame stuff the players can vote into the game. It's like armadillo. They voted an armadillo and then they can put armor on your wolf now. Wow. That's the update the players got. They voted in that. And so then they put in a whole new dimension for the April Fool's update. So it's something.
There were some people that were upset about the April Fool's patch notes for a similar reason in Hearthstone. They're like, oh well, we still have like, you know, bad balance in Wild, or we've got, you know, this detail broke or that detail broke, but like, I'm glad we're buffing Worgen Greaser again. Like, I know some people who were upset about that, but like, you know, I don't know. It's supposed to be fun.
Well, it's pretty... I don't really like their balancing philosophy in Wild. I think they should do regular nerfs for Wild, but I'm not a game designer. Anyways, so there might be a few new decks coming up in the Wild meta right now. So one of them is Reno Hunter. It has, okay, like Reno Hunter, someone got number one on Asia with Reno Hunter, and then I don't think it was the, it's, I don't think it's the best version. It's not, probably not very optimized, but I think it has potential.
There's a lot of weird cards, right? Is that what you were playing, Sheep? Probably that's the one that everybody's net decking, right? Like this gigantic, like yellow pile of just legendary cards just sort of stapled together.
Oh, and Reno is in the ETC.
Of course.
Perfect.
The six mana Reno,
Darkness.
not 8 mana Reno. Yeah, the darkness is in ETC too.
Of course. What else do you put in ETC?
Definitely not like your 0 mana cards that bounce cards back to your hand or flare or Serpent Bloom so that your Dread Scale is online as a 3 mana Twisting Nether. That's one sided. No, definitely not those cards.
Serpent Bloom is actually the third card in
Oh, is it? Okay, good.
the ETC,
We got one of them. So you were saying Reno Hunt, is that the new spice? Are you going to be optimizing Reno Hunter and ending it?
Well, I built a version of it, but it's probably okay. And there's also this other deck. It's Book Tusk Rogue. It's very cool. It doesn't have the toy boat and small pirate package. It runs Bran, Sandblock Scoundrel, and Bargain Bin Buccaneer. These are new cards. Bargain Buccaneer and Sandblock Scoundrel. And then you use the scoundrel to discount your Hook Tusk. That's why it's Hook Tusk Rogue. And then you brand the Hook Tusk. And then you take everything from your opponent, and then you Shadowcaster it, and then you take everything from your opponent again.
That was one of the decks submitted in the Survivor, and it wasn't built the way that the list that I've seen where it's got those cards. It was built more like a weird slapping together of the Garrote Rogue boat small pirate shell, and then like also somehow cutting enough cards to fit in like almost an Alex Rogue-esque combo with Shark and Scabs and Foxy Fraud, and hand space was a nightmare, but like it went 3-2 and it was okay. I think the version you're talking about today, and it felt like it was more consistent at doing the funny, but less consistent at winning the game, because like I was just I, if somebody was doing something proactive, I felt like I was always behind. Do you see any kind of like path for some sort of in between there or further refinement where it's either going to get a little bit more like, I know there's hero, like there's like Spy Master Scabs or whatever the 8 mana hero card is in there. I never got a chance to play that card, and I understand like from better players like Esbergs, I was seeing him saying like, well, I mean, you could get it down turn six or even a little earlier with a high roll, but do you see any refinement with that deck going to happen? Or where it's where it might be going.
Definitely seems like it's gonna not run the toy boat stuff. It's kind of inconsistent, and just with the few pirates you have, like Bargain and Buccaneer and Scoundrel, you're actually surprisingly pretty consistently triggering the seven pirate. You would play seven pirate. That's enough pirates to trigger a Hook Tusk.
Yeah, you don't even run patches. Like, especially if you like I was shadow stepping the bargain boys, and I was just like, oh, this is kind of neat. I can do a free trade, and then I can print two more pirates toward my Hook Tusk. And that felt like that was something that was kind of cool and kind of neat. But like again, you're only running one prize plunderer. It's like, is this a deck that's working and living because there's so much Reno Quest Mage being played, or like is that a factor where it's like that's a good matchup for it?
Definitely beats Reno Quest Mage. Also, I cut the Pog scheme because I'm not putting Toxeme in my deck, and I add another Plunderer.
Okay, sure.
So that's also more pirates for dig for treasure, so you get coin more often,
That makes a lot of
and it's
sense.
better into aggro.
That makes a lot more sense. That makes a lot
Also,
more sense. I should try
I'm
that.
also not putting Toxeme in my deck.
But more hook tusk! Exclamation point hook tusk.
Wasn't Toxing ran in Miracle Road for a little bit for some reason?
Oh, was she? I don't
Wasn't.
think so. She was seen playing Reno Rogue for a while.
Right.
Or at least by a while, I mean like Esperg's has definitely taken my entire hand and deck. Playing Reno Rogue when I was on like Even Warrior, and I'm just sitting there and I have no means of disruption. And he's literally taking I probably had 15 cards left in my deck and he took them all. And then he took my hand. But that's like just, classic Esperg's moment.
Right. And I think 40 card non-Reno Shudderwalk Shaman might be okay. I'm
Yeah, you were
just
testing that,
calling it
right?
though. Right. I made Shudder Block Golden and then I figured out that you probably shouldn't put this card in your deck. It's never been good.
Unlucky.
Yeah, except once that Quest Mage stole it from Azurite Fane and then tripled their Ramath, and then I cut the card.
Got you.
Yeah.
That will do it. Anything else of note in your week?
Well, I didn't do much. My life is not very exciting.
What do you mean? Of course it's exciting. You're on this show.
No, that's
Tell
true.
she.
This is the highlight of my week. I love human interaction.
Yes, human interaction.
Yeah.
The
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
And there is some good news. We'll do a bigger deep dive into this particular bit of news, but a little foreshadowing as a treat.
It's a treat.
Blizzard Entertainment announced that our legendary worlds are for all to share, and that includes our passionate Chinese community. And they have announced a new agreement with NetEase to bring Blizzard games back to mainland China. And of course, that includes Hearthstone. So, like I said, this will be our main discussion point for a deeper dive in a bit, but we'd be remiss if we didn't also mention it here in the news, because it's a big deal.
Yeah.
For those of y'all who purchased Diamond King Plush or Aulonius, if you bought one of those in the first week of the expansion and did not get a reroll, now you get a reroll. Neat. And then the patch notes came out, and here's where we get the vast majority of our news for the week. So, Umpire's Grasp has been or will be on the 16th nerfed to 4 mana. That is, of course, since we're a wild podcast, that is the currently 3 mana 3/2 weapon with a death rattle of draw a demon and discount it by 2. Now it's going to be a 4 mana 3/2 weapon, and of course it's in Demon Hunter, because that is the deck that has taken the standard meta by storm. We've got some other news from that patch notes that are relevant to wild and wild adjacent activities as well. One of those is the twist update. So Twist is not yet returning in May. It's going to need a little bit longer to cook. So it's going to be returning in June. They say that they're working on a huge new Twist season with several unique decks and new hero powers, all of which needs just a little bit more time to cook. We look forward to sharing more with you about the upcoming Twist seasons in the coming weeks before the next season. So, update about Twist. I am not thrilled.
live sheep reaction.
Yeah, I've said this other places as well, but like, Twist is my favorite format, and I am honestly disappointed in the way that it's been handled from the get-go. And I think that the June update sounds cool from what little breadcrumbs they've given us, but it's now going to have been out for 2 months randomly. Like, they're just, it's not being set up to succeed as a mode, and I'm pretty upset about it. Also in the news, there's an in-game event coming April 23rd to May 7th. So you choose one of two rewards tracks to earn event experience towards. One track focuses on traditional Hearthstone, granting 4 Whizbang's Workshop packs, 2 standard packs, and the Urel the Knight Paladin hero skin for completion. The other track focuses on Battlegrounds duos, granting a Whizbang's Workshop catch-up pack, that's not Battlegrounds, a standard pack, that's not Battlegrounds, and a Golem Curator Battlegrounds hero skin for completion. And, you know, I play both of these modes. I'm not a Bee Gees whale whatsoever, but the Curator is my favorite hero in that mode. And since I'm going to have to choose one or the other, I'm going to choose traditional Hearthstone, but like, that means that I'm going to miss out on a Curator skin. So that's fun. Kind of negative this week.
Womp womp. It'll always come back around. I feel like they recycle those, a lot of those things, like a lot of the cosmetics. Like, I'm sure it'll come back around.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Especially the Bee Gees cosmetics. We don't have to wait as long for those. I feel like they cycle those a lot faster.
That's true. Another very good point. The Heroic Tavern Brawl is returning. The first week in May 1st through 8th, the Heroic Tavern Brawl will be back. It'll be standard games. There'll be the entry fee, and then you either get 12 wins or 3 losses. They do not have a hero portrait like Crimson Psy was for getting 12 wins. The kind of general standard payout system is in place. So if you can get 10 or above, you like for sure get your money back, but it's typically about like $10 to enter or 1,000 gold. So not a cheap entry prize. And you know, however much I've gotten to the 12 wins, I don't know that I would really recommend doing that thing unless you're like a standard spike for sure.
I do like maybe one run, like just to like, I try to get like one run, 6 wins, which roughly gets you back your gold, or at least your gold's worth in value. And that's usually good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only if I have a deck I really like. Like
assuming there's not more balance changes, I may do that with Zerini Priest in standard. Do one run. It's a fun deck.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you going to be brawling OTZ?
Well, probably just one run.
Probably just one
run. Because I have 1,000 gold.
Because like I can always tell you're part of a circle of tryhards that like this brawl comes around and I feel like it just, they can't help themselves, they just start gambling their gold away whenever it rolls around, and there's co-ops and talk of PSI and people are going 3-3 and getting grumpy. So like I figure it was going to be one of the high holidays for the spikes of the world.
And finally, before we transition into our main discussion topic,
there's actually one little bit after this. Sorry, sheep, keep going though. There is one little bit after this that's really funny. Keep going.
Excellent. I can't wait. So there's a new cosmetic type, which is Diamond Hero Skins. Introducing new Diamond Hero Skins. So they've got like 3D portrait and animations, new voice lines, and unique visual effects. The first one is Nerzul. The first ever Diamond Hero Skin for Shaman will be available April 16th. We don't know how much it's going to be. They further say that just like on the ladder, we see these Diamond Hero Skins as just below Legendary. So it probably won't be $25 like the Legendary ones are. Additionally, going forward, our plan is for Legendary Hero Skins to feel truly legendary like C'Thun does. Shmoopy Daddy, you've got your hand raised.
Can I get a little grumpy about this for a second?
Absolutely.
I feel like I've never been part of like the unnerfed Jaina crew. I find the people who do that unironically are kind of weird and pathetic. But at the same time, if you've seen the Diamond Hero skin, it is a chiseled male torso that is very much striking in its physique. And I'm going to have to be using a lot of spray bottles in my chat in particular, calming people down. The weird double standard that we have, at least as far as the game goes, where it's just like male nudity versus female nudity. It's something that Martians brought up in the past that I think is a good point. And it just like for some reason on this one in particular, it bugs me. And like even in our DM for the show, I'm like, is there a reason why we need sexy Garrosh? And then she pointed out, no, that's actually a shaman skin. Like, is this character only ever depicted with their shirt off? Like, have they never worn a shirt? Do they come from like, you know, they came from Outlands, I believe. And they're a shaman character. I think this is one of the characters that was, Gul'dan,
I believe that Nerzul was, in fact, the first Lich King.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So he wore a helmet at least at some point, right? So, like, did he just not have a shirt on the rest of the time? Like, I don't. Do you get my point? Like, I'm a little bit grumpy about the fact that it's like, okay, it's a Children's Guard game. And, like, yeah, okay, we've got some iconic portraits, like, you know, Druid. Dude's never worn it. You know, Malfurion's never worn a shirt in his life as the base Druid skin. But it's just this one in particular, just being so detailed, it just sort of is driving the point for me and bugging me in a way that I don't know. Maybe it shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't care. Maybe it's just I'm annoyed because it's giving me homework to mod my chat later in life. I don't know. But like, it's just this one is annoying me for some reason.
Well, and we've also got Nipple Ring Rexxar.
I had forgotten about Nipple Ring Rexxar, but now that you brought it up.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah.
It's a holiday. It's a holiday skin, bro. Happy holidays.
You may have been distracted by the snow flipper penguin that he has in his arms, but he also has a piercing.
And the crazy look. He's got a crazy look in his eye. He's like, yeah, let's go to the 7-Eleven and party, baby. Like, it's nuts. It's nuts. Anyway, I don't think we can top that for talking about legendary skins. Sheep, did you notice the little piece of news that we missed this week? It was easy to miss because I believe it was categorized as a bug fix for Wild.
Oh, is that Whizbang is now giving all of the things back? Nope. By the way, Whizbang no longer just doing stuff from Boomsday, back to being regular Whizbang. What else did I potentially miss?
They're deleting duels. And I would have missed where it was in the official notes. But Jordan MG pointed out that they put it under the bug section as a bug fix for Wild.
Oh, under bug fixes and game improvements.
Right. Right. Now, I've moved on from duels for months because I don't do long breakups. I can't. And I loved duels. And I loved playing duels. But I wasn't going to go in and, like, you know, learn the meta for the last couple months of a mode that was just going to die anyway. So, like, I removed myself. But this does feel like a little twist in the knife right at the end that's a little bit messed up.
Yeah. At the very least, it leads off the bug fixes and game improvement section.
Great. Love that.
Duels is almost getting kind of popular before they announced they'll delete it.
Yeah, weird, right? Rafa was doing well in it. Were you starting to play at OTZ? I know there was a crew of people that I knew were starting to get into it.
I was getting into it.
Yeah. Like, it's fun. It was fun. It was fun, and it was weird, and it was profitable. But, like, you know, and I get, when we outlined this at the time, so we don't have to rehash this, and, like, I get why they're getting rid of it from a man-hour standpoint. Stuff would break in it all the time. I actually think that stuff breaking and not working in a proper function, not the actual meta, like, managing the meta itself, was more of a reason for why they're getting rid of duels. Like, I don't think they necessarily had a problem with the fact that every once in a while they had to go in and, like, it was probably annoying to go in and be like, all right, can't have nice things. Let's get rid of this Drekthar deck that's making infinite stats as soon as turn 3 or 4. I don't think that was necessarily bothering them, but, like, stuff actually breaking where somebody had to go in and work on the code, and it happening frequently because it was such a complicated mode. You know, that's probably what the problem was. So I don't know. That just bummed me out. And also, it's worth covering as news because they didn't really treat it like it was news. So I thought we might as well address it on its way out.
I think that is only proper to do so. Completely agreed.
I'd pour one out, but then I'd get a wet keyboard.
I have a wet keyboard right now from all the tears.
I can hear the emotion in your voice, OTC. It's really heartbreaking, really heart-wrenching. What's your discussion topic sheet?
Yeah, so, like, you know, foreshadowed earlier on in the news, the China server is opening back up. So, OTZ, as someone with one foot in both the Western and Chinese communities, what do you think the changes on NA will be if the server reopens as it seemingly is being signaled?
So you do need, like, a sort of VPN thingy to not have a huge lag if you're playing in China. So if they're reopening the server in China, just based on that alone, I think there are a lot of people going to move back. But the thing is, the server has been down for a while, and the obviously, people can't keep up with their collection. So we don't know if they're getting any kind of compensation for that, because they're going to need the cards if they're going to go back to the server.
You know what my theory is for that? If they do like go this route, I would think if I was Blizzard, be offering catch-up pack bundles. But, like, how many years has it been down? Like, is it, does like, an even a single, like, I feel like there's still going to be, like, a whole year-long period where, like, standard catch-up packs would not work, right? Like, how long has it been down? It's been 1 or 2 years? 3 years?
It's been,
was it March of the Lich King when it first went down?
Something like that.
So, my tinfoil hat theory is that in anticipation of the return to China is why they were working on the ketchup pack technology. Because the way that the ketchup packs work is it's set specific. So the very first time that they rolled those out, it was from March the Lich King forward, right? So they could grant those as well as the current standard ketchup pack. So that's my tinfoil hat.
No one's reading your brain from space. That's a good one.
Future Sheep here with a very important clarification. The Blizzard NetEase relationship dissolved in early 2023, leaving Festival of Legends as the first expansion in the Chinese server that they missed out on. The first catch-up packs included everything from Voyage to the Sunken City through Showdown and the Badlands. I hope that this helps resolve the tear in the space-time continuum.
So, all right, people get back, they get their collections back. Their collections are all older. Again, they haven't been deleted. They've just been put in stasis for a while, so they're getting back on there. Again, I know you don't speak for an entire community, right? But you are the person I send my CN Salt ads when I can't read, you know, the characters, and then I'm like, are they friendly or not friendly? And I get like sad face or disturbed face or happy face. do you think people would still be, players would still be playing their NA accounts, or do you think it'd be like almost like a mass migration, like back home, like, all right, this was fun, this was like a vacation, but everybody back on the mother server?
Well, I feel like a lot of players are just gonna not play the game. I feel like most of the players already quit the game when the most Chinese players already quit the game when the server shut down. So the ones who migrated are diehard fans of the game, or they really like the game. They would go to another server and play it after Blizzard shut down their entire collection without any compensation. So if they do get compensation and enough, like a reasonable amount, I feel like there will definitely a lot of players will be migrating back.
Now, what does that mean for the NA accounts? Are we going to get a bunch of people just not playing NA accounts, or are we going to mysteriously have an uptick in botting? Not saying that all the botting is, of course, done by the Chinese community, but a fair amount of it has been attributed to, you know, the Chinese community, as far as, especially for, you were talking about, like, you know, what it's like at 9X, 8X. I haven't experienced it myself, but just the huge wave of mech rogue bots that they literally, somebody ported was just like, well, these aren't standard legal anymore, but we can play them in wild. You know, I was hearing reports of some people that were just like, I have queued into my 10th mech rogue bot in a row. What the heck is going on? It doesn't even seem like it's a good deck. Like, what is going on? Do you think people would still come back and grind it or play it? Or do you think it would be more like, well, let's let this go to seed, or uptick in botting, and we go back to kind of like an NA ghost town? Because I think we're going to go back to an NA ghost town, and it makes me a little bit sad, because, you know, for all the bad stuff that came with, like, we had the pillager calculator, we had, you know, the increase in botting. I've really enjoyed having the Chinese players on the server, because I think it's meant more frequent opponents. It's meant more varied competition. It's meant a higher level of competition in general. Botting ignored, which I don't think you can ignore the botting, but just when you have played humans, you've played against more humans that are above average players. I feel like I'm going to miss them. I don't know if you're going to miss them, or if I don't know what your feelings are, OTZ. I'm really interested on this topic, as far as like how you feel about, as somebody who's going to be towards the top of the ladder, is this something that like you're looking at it and you're like, you know, upsides, downsides? What are you seeing from your point of view?
Well, so, you know, most Chinese players will add you and just assume you're Chinese and send you a message in Chinese. So that tells you a lot about the proportion of player base on the top wild ladder. And if a decent amount of them leaves, the top of the ladder is going to change a lot. Still, I don't know how much of them are going to migrate in servers because, you know, they have a new collection on the NA server now. And of course, the botting thing, I feel like I hope the bots are going to decrease in numbers because they're just going to go back botting on the Chinese server. I know there are like workshops for bots, and you know, because if the Chinese server is opening back up again, they will be opening bot accounts so players can come back and play the game again. So there are definitely reasons to restart botting on the Chinese server.
And meanwhile, you don't want to play in that, so you just stay on the NA server while your China account gets botted up. I could see that. That makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought of that. So you don't think if there was like a max exodus from the Western servers, you would actually expect for that to be kind of delayed from the start, if anything, it sounds like. Uh-huh. Just because they already have a new account. Yeah, because like I feel like, again, my experience as a whole has been improved by the Chinese community coming and playing on the servers. But I also don't compete at a high level regularly where, you know, there are some interesting tactics that people will put out. Like if you're near the top, like right. I remember Hijo had a bounty on him. I forget how much it was for. It was, I think in US bucks, it was like $1.50 or something like that for every game like that you queued in. It was like $3, like every game that you queued into him. Uh-huh. What was it? It was like you had to like emote and rope him.
Yep. And they have to beat
But at the same time, like $3 goes a long way. So. Yeah, so like that, I don't know. I'm kind of melancholy on the situation because I've by and large, and I will say this too, most of the Chinese players that I've interacted with, really cool, friendly, again, enjoy the game, like playing the game. The ones that have added me, I've had some salt ads, but like as far as like percentage wise, have I had a higher percentage of salt ads from Eastern players as opposed to Western players? No. I've actually probably had a lower percentage of salt ads from Eastern players than Western players. And by and large, they just usually call me farm animal stuff and I can kind of like laugh it off and move on with my life. But
I
like,
thought I was just I getting happy. Those because of my username.
Yeah. But like, I feel kind of like I'm happy that people are getting their accounts back and that they're getting their stuff back. But I'll be sad if like we're back to the days where we've got 3,500 people hitting legend in wild on NA and it's a ghost town and you know and queuing legend after right now I hit legend day one of the month. I'm landing somewhere between with my MMR background MMR. I'm hitting somewhere between rank 60 and rank 100 or 110. I think it was 109 this month or something like that. My highest ever entry is 5 and I hit like the same time of day that I would normally hit one day. And it was just like, nobody was playing to hit legend back then. And that was like, you know, just to give you an idea of just like the huge difference between the two communities being there, not being there. And then I could queue up a game day one post legends and not wait in the queue for 5, 6, 7 minutes to find somebody, right? Like I wouldn't be getting wild queue So like, I feel kind of melancholy because I'm like, well, I'm glad you're getting your stuff back, but I don't want you to go home.
Yeah. Still can come over and play like sometimes, right?
Just like, you know, don't animation cheat or anything.
Good thing there's no good thing they nerfed Auctioneer, right?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. that's definitely that's a totally dead deck, right? That's never seen play again.
There's no way to get him for 5 mana instead. Nope, definitely not.
Nope, definitely not. And thank you, OTZ, by the way, for being such an effective translator for me for my salt ads. It's been very entertaining for me.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Are we ready for some unrelated advice?
Unrelated advice with Shmoopy Daddy.
Okay, OTZ. I don't know how long this unrelated advice is going to be useful, but I'm still going to ask the question. Sure. So you've been added. Let's say it's my shoes. I do not speak Mandarin or Cantonese or any of the regional dialects, right? I've been added by a Chinese player, and they begin speaking to me with characters. I always type back. I'm sorry. I always type back. English, please. But is there a polite way to send that message that you think that would rub the fewest feathers? Because sometimes I say English, please, and then I get cursed out in Mandarin. So I'm interested to know, is there a polite way to speak to a newly met, we are friends now, hello friend, CN player?
Wow. So most players are, so you do have to pass English class. It is a required course in Chinese schooling system. So they do understand a little bit of English. So they would understand no English, please. But I think it's going to be difficult to convey like that intention to not upset someone. Because you know, usually when people add you, they're not happy typically.
Well, it's double-edged for me because like I'm also usually playing weird decks, but I think sometimes they assume that I'm Chinese because I'm playing weird decks that I might find just like net decking, you know, like Glorious Magic or something like that, in my spare time anyway. Is it true that, I heard this someplace. Is it true that it's a sign of respect to not concede? I thought, yeah. I heard that someplace where it's like, if it's been a hard match, you don't concede, you just like pass turn and let them hit you for lethal or something like that.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's not like a written rule or anything.
No, but it's like I'm just saying like that's like a cultural practice. It's not necessarily something that I think is an organized cultural practice on NA that you just pass and let your opponent hit you when you think they've played well. Like, I don't.
Yeah, sure. Some people do that.
Yeah, I know some people do, but I don't know. Maybe that's not unique to the community. So what you're basically telling me, OTZ, is there's no way for me to guarantee that I'm not going to make somebody mad.
There is just no guarantee.
Wiser words have never been spoken. And you heard that.
Born to be wild.